Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Holiday edition. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Sympathetic to the people who have nothing to do on these silly holidays. Because they're not all connected, you know, their lives, and they don't do all the little frivolous parade things and all the little fun. Anyway. But there is no audience here. Yeah, I am finding out that I always thought the YouTube audience was thin. You know, it says 2,000 subscribers or something, and then 200 people watch the video, and then you're saying, but there's no reasonable comments, there's no real interaction. How many of these people are real? I mean, really interested in the subject, know anything about the subject? Can't be too many. And by moving the videos off the website, I mean off of YouTube, I have found that, yes, just nobody is watching the videos. So I'm just doing this as like some sort of historical record, apparently. it's just no point. You can't talk. It's half the problem is the Google net, you know, letting Google censor what we see on the internet. On the other half is just people. People are just, they're afraid to defend their bullshit. they're afraid of any kind of conflict. So anyway, let's get to the subject. So again, we're still on this Veritasium, this bullshit kind of statement. He's taken a video somebody else made 2 years ago and, turned it into a controversy, by just playing word games, Well, can you turn a light on for 1 millisecond at 1 millivolt, Well, yeah, maybe you can, but that doesn't mean the electricity isn't traveling through the fucking wire. It just means that, there's a side effect, and you could smell the side effect. You could even say something like a nuclear bomb. I mean, can you see the flash of light from a billion light years away? Well, yeah. Are you going to get blown up by it? No. Is all the energy of the nuclear bomb in the field? La, 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 la. some sort of bullshit. I mean, this is all such bullshit. So anyway, so this is just fake controversy. Just clickbait, complete manipulation, It's just the worst kind of bad way to do science. People arguing about crap that can't be true, that is silly, instead of arguing about the crap they should be arguing about. Like, why the hell do you believe in 1/2 mv². I mean, what the hell? It's completely irrational. It doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. It's invented by a religious kook. Why? Why do you believe it? So, both of these videos, this guy. So, I'm going to email him. I mean, he's an old turd. He's probably just going to, you're too mean a person. they all wet their little panties. And then there's this Australian guy or something like that. This is just such shit science. And so, there has to really be created a forum, for the discussion of all of these elemental pieces of crap that people believe that aren't true. And you could just handle them one at a time, each one of these little silly ideas. But that's all this is a bunch of silly ideas. And, it's not packaged like a religion, but it's full of the same things a religion has, which is a bunch of silly stories like, Jacob made the sun stop, or whoever it was. some kind of, what's the implications of that? That really couldn't happen in this physical universe, could it? Anyway. All right, so let's just play. So this is, every single person I've seen has said this, and it's just, why do people believe this stupid piece of crap?
The pump electrons from here over to there. Of course, that's not what is really happening, but that's what appears to be happening.
So first he's saying that electrons aren't getting pumped by a battery. Well, pretty much, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. One side becomes deprivated from having electrons, being too few, and one side has too many. And instead of just exchanging them, the shortcut, they exchange them the long way. They all go out the back door. So what? It is a pump. It is literally pumpish.
So it appears to be just simply pushing electrons in that direction. How fast do they go? Well, if you watch my video on the speed of electricity, you'll see how I showed that.
So the speed of electricity, it would be how fast does the idea of the movement get through the wire? And guess what? Yeah, that's going to be almost the speed of light. So if you're going to talk about the speed of electricity, yeah, it's the speed of light, almost. And the almost part is hugely important. So they always just say the speed of light. But you can imagine that if you have a whole bunch of things, like if I had a bunch of trains, we use easy analogies, and they were going a little less than 50 miles an hour, you know, just 49.6. But if I had enough of them, all of those little 0.4s would start adding up to a lot of energy that isn't happening because of that little tiny degrade. So just understand, a little degrade off of the speed of light is thousands and hundreds of thousands of miles an hour. I mean, it's a huge amount of velocity that isn't there. That's a huge amount of energy. Oh, shit.
They're moving very, very slow, and Derek mentioned...
So they're moving very, very slow. And what is this theory based on? Nothing rational. So this is like saying, okay, say I have a bunch of trains in the United States. And right now there's trains moving on tracks, and they're going some sort of... All the moving trains have an average speed. Let's say the average speed is 15 miles an hour. So that's what the moving trains are doing. Now, if I wanted to qualify what's happening in traindom in the United States, why would I say, well, let's average that with what all the trains are that are going 0 miles an hour, all the trains in stations, all the trains in farms, all the trains in all repair shops, all the trains not going anywhere, and let's just dilute it. And then I end up with 1 mile an hour. And then I say, gee, all the trains are going so slowly because they're only going 1 mile an hour. Why would I do that and say I'm being rational? So why this whole idea of drift velocity is such a fake and a phony and a fraud, and it's completely dependent on what I would argue is an easily understood mistake. I mean, to think that the electrical wire, when you have an electron pressure over here, that one electron moves 1 zillion electrons. So its velocity is spread over every single atom in the conductor. Every single one. And so I take a speed of, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, and I turn it into 0.00000001 mile an hour. Now, you know, people know that can't be rational. That's no way to be doing this. You don't compare, you don't sit there and think. Do you really think? I mean, the facts already, and I've already pointed them out, and it's like, oh, this is so tedious to have to do this over and over again. But I mean, just the way we know electricity travels through wires, we know that if you have a high pressure electron, that is, you have a high voltage electron, that the fact is you can shoot them through a wire and the wire doesn't even get hot, it's not even disturbed, and I can take a whole bunch of those high voltage ones, actually, and I can make them go through the wire, and I won't do much damage at all. But if I take low voltage, you know, low volume, low pressure, and I push that through, I have to actually use a lot more atoms because I'm only sending 1 volt at a time through the electrons. So when the electron bangs in, it's only doing 1 volt exchange. It's a very weak exchange. So if I want any kind of wattage to show up at the other side, I'm going to have to hit lots and lots of them and send them. So I got to send 1,000 people with $1 bills versus, you know, one person with a $1,000 bill. It's that simple an argument. It's the same argument as the kinetic energy argument, by the way, but whatever. I just, you know, so they do this stupid thing where they tell you how fast the electron is moving. You know the electron is moving faster than that, but you know it's getting through the frickin' wire. You know the electron moving, the moving of electrons is what's going through the wire. You know it's almost the speed of light. So why are you pretending, oh, it's only moving 1 inch a minute? You know it's not doing that, so why are you thinking that could be a reasonable theory? And again, the whole reason why they turn up this stupid moronic drift velocity is they say how many atoms are in the entire conductor. In this little shriv here, this little slice, how many atoms are in there? And then I'll calculate the speed by saying this speed goes over all of those. I mean, it's just so stupid. There is no drift velocity. It's garbage. It's as a notion, it's stupid. Nothing's drifting anywhere. Ugh. Shit. It's just
this. I showed that in a typical wire.
So he didn't show anything. I hate when people say this. I showed. No, you didn't do an experiment. You didn't show me anything drifting. You did a silly calculation based on what I would say is completely irrational nonsense. Why did you think that every single electron is moving? Why do you think that that's how a conductor works? That every single, like even, you know, you can have cables, you know, where there's a bunch of cables inside the cable, you know, a bunch of wires. And do you really think if I send voltage into one of those little cables that the voltage moves every single in one of the other cables? It goes into all the other cables and moves the electrons in all the other cables too? You really think that's going to be happening? Huh? Come on. You got to know better.
That these would take about 16 minutes to go 1 inch.
So 16 minutes to go 1 inch. So somebody, you realistically think that the electricity, the movement of electrons, the wiggling of electrons, takes that long to get through the wire. And yet, magically, it's the speed of light, almost the speed of light. I mean, why you know it can't be the truth. You know that can't, you can't put those two facts together in any way and make it rational. You know the phenomenon's moving through the conductor much, much faster than that. And what do you think? The phenomenon is changing? Do you think what happens when the voltage starts in the wire is something different than what's happening a mile down the wire? No, it's all the same thing. It's the same process that has to take place for the light. It's like the light going through a piece of glass. Yes, it slows down. Well, it technically doesn't do that. We can figure out that it's moving electrons, and that's slowing it down. It has to go through the process. Damn. Anyway, let me finish this point and then I'll go to the other guy.
Electrons actually move very slowly. But what, of course, happens is when we put this force on there, these electrons are pushed this way, and that's going to, well, let's just draw some circles and make these electrons. So this electron is pushed this way, which then pushes on that electron, which then pushes on that.
Then how does the electricity get down the wire at almost the speed of light if it's drifting this slowly? Oh, that's right. That's because your drawing is correct. It's one electron, one electron, one electron. It's carried by individual electrons, the pressure. The voltage is the speed of the electrons. How fast are they? How much pressure are they hitting each other with? And you can have electrons that are low pressure, low voltage, or you can have electrons with high pressure, high voltage. And if you have high pressure, it's like carrying $1,000 bills, and you don't need to go through too many hands to get it to the end of the wire. Shit. Let me say a little more.
That electron. So there's some time delay in there from the elasticity of the whole system, and so it's going to take some time for that energy.
So it just doesn't make any sense. It's not going to take 1 inch an hour because you know the damn electricity isn't taking 1 inch an hour.
This electron moving to move all the way down before all of the electrons in this loop are moving.
Why would all of them be moving? So that's the simple argument. Why would all of them be moving? I'm just saying, if all of them are moving, then you're back to some argument about why does the wire get hot then? What causes the fact that the resistance goes, you know, gets higher as it gets hotter? Why would all of these factors be real, indicating that somehow the volume is changing? That some of the atoms are active in the process and some of the atoms aren't active in the process. And the more atoms that are active, the more amperage, then the more heat. Shit. All right, so we'll play this and get exactly the same crap at almost exactly the same time in the video, which is kind of funny.
You know, unlike a battery, the electricity in the grid comes in the form of alternating current, or AC, which means electrons in the power lines are just wiggling back and forth.
And wiggling back and forth is not a minor thing. It's exactly what a steam engine does, right? A piston going back and forth. And what do they do? Well, you just tie it to a wheel, and all of a sudden, you've got all kinds of energy. So back and forth isn't an insignificant way of understanding the movement of energy. That takes real energy. It takes real force to move it this way, and then it takes real force to move it that way. And yes, it looks like you didn't go anywhere, but the fact is you did a lot of work. And that's a fact everybody's missing, because that's what atoms are doing all day long, is a lot of work, a lot of stuff going on. That's what the atoms inside the Earth are doing, is a lot of work. Where are they getting the energy from? Oh, gravity. Bingo.
That is correct. Even if you had a completely DC power system from...
So even if you had a completely DC power system, you can just pulse the DC. You don't actually have to move the electron backwards again. You can just keep moving it forward in little jerks, and it'll work just fine. It'll go right through the transformers just fine. Everything will work just like an AC circuit. So there's no real good distinctions between AC and DC, in the sense of not a real good understanding that one actually requires you to reverse the direction of an electron, and the other one, you're not reversing its direction.
Source to your house, or in the case of your product, from your battery into your product, you would get the electrons only slowly drift, very slow, like this slowly.
Right, so there's absolutely no evidence to support this, no physical evidence. This is just somebody's mathematical notion that I'm going to take what every electron is doing. I'm going to assume that when an electron moves in the wire, every single electron has to move in the wire. It has to move every other electron. So it can't go through one part of the wire, you know, a few atoms. No, it has to hit every frickin' single atom and move every single electron a little bit of distance. So you have, you know, a gallon of gasoline, and somebody says, you know, move a box, and instead you move all the boxes. Obviously, you're going to run out of gas a lot sooner if you have to move all of the boxes. So, yeah, this drift notion is just a notion. It has nothing to do with real physics. There's no real electron drifting anywhere. Nowhere in the conductor is anything fucking drifting.
Drift from the battery to your source.
Okay. Yeah, so complete bullshit. It's all a big joke. Glib, glib, ha-ha, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing physics. Bullshit, you're doing physics. You're just preaching a religious notion. There is no fucking drift velocity. As soon as you heard the words, you should have said, what's drifting? What the hell are you talking about? Electricity goes really fast. I've been electrocuted. It's not drifting through my body, okay? I can... If you get electrocuted, you'll know nothing's fucking drifting through you.
He's right.
They never act.
He's not right. The whole premise of the video is baby talk bullshit gimmick. The whole thing depends on his little catches, okay? They're superconducting wires, okay? And you don't have to put any wattage into the light bulb. So... 0.00000000000 watts counts as turning the light bulb on. So if you believe those two retarded premises, two circumstances that are absolute nonsense, you don't turn a light bulb on with 0.00000000 watts. So, you know, then the argument is valid. If you think the power company is sending you 0.00000 watts, well, then the energy's in the field. But if you think the power company is sending you megawatts, you know, then, yeah, you get it. Okay, that, yeah, it went through the fucking wire. I got my electricity through the fucking wire. All right? I didn't get through any magic little field that it jumped through. It didn't jump from all the way over wherever the energy even came from, right? You could end up with electricity from pretty far distances now because the whole grid is tied together. And it just didn't magically poof here. Oh, God, this whole thing is so frickin' irritating. So, yeah, there's no way I can really See, but this is what interactions really have to be about. I mean, there's truth here, and there's truth has value, and these people are just talking out of their asses and pretending. I have a degree in talking out of my ass. They ought to just say that. Physicist ought to be an equal sign, degree in talking out of ass.
Actually go anywhere just to teach this subject?
Yeah, right. So it obviously does go somewhere, the energy. So there must be a catch. That is, you know, the obvious catch is that once it goes in a direction and hits the earth energy is still going somewhere. The energy never stops. So my pressure on the earth doesn't just disappear somewhere. No, it keeps going and going and going and going and going because the energy's never killed.
I would say that power lines are like this flexible plastic tubing, and the electrons inside are like this chain.
Right. Well, it's a bad analogy, blah, 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 because that's not what the electrons are. The electrons aren't connected to each other. There's little, you know, it's not a good analogy. There's no perfect, simple analogies. You know, you have to explain that there's, you know, a process here of how the material is made and that there's available chains to be pulled on. That's not even the right way to say it. All right, anyway, I didn't watch this video yet, so I won't respond to this part yet. So I did watch this one. And this guy, you know, I said, there's just no way I'm not going to sound like I'm being critical. But I mean, shit. You know, he's going to argue that it's a capacitor. All right, let's just play it.
And we assume that that wave travels at the speed of light.
So it's not a wave, you know, it's just, this is more just, you know, baby talk. It's not a wave. It's like saying it's a wave of bullets or something. No, we know it's made out of discrete interactions that take place in the material. Electrons are banging or pushing into each other's space and reacting to those incursions by also moving. And so you're moving the force through the tension between the electrons. You know, it's not some silly wave.
Wait, maybe not because of the elasticity, but I've never looked into that. We'll just assume that that goes at the speed of light. So theoretically.
So you never looked into it. Yeah, no, the point is it's always something less than the speed of light, unless you have some kind of ideal conductor. I don't even think in an ideal conductor you can make the argument, because you really do have to allow the force actually has to move electrons. And moving electrons means you're going to take a force that's going the speed of light, and you're going to be pushing something that's going less than the speed of light. So again, it's my whole gravity argument. You're going to use up some of the force's energy pushing the electrons. And the used up part is in the fact that you have slowed it down a little bit. And a little bit of slowdown can be a lot of velocity. I mean, again, 1% of the speed of light is like 1 million miles an hour or something. It's a huge number.
When I close the switch, the electrons here will start moving, which will then push those, then those, and those, and it's going to travel at the speed of light, and so it's starting to make sense the way we looked before.
No, it doesn't make any sense with what you just explained, this silly drift velocity. Somehow something's only drifting 1 inch a minute or something. No, it doesn't make any sense.
And it's going to take, well, it should take about a second for that wave to get all
right, so it's not a wave, and then you could just say on the other side the battery's doing exactly the opposite. The electrons are moving into the battery, and by moving into the battery, they're creating a vacuum, so to speak, in the positions of the electrons. So the other electrons are jumping to fill that position, and so the exact opposite things happen here. There's pressure on one side pushing this way. When the pressure pushes this way, it creates a vacuum behind it, which pulls on the other side, so to speak. Obviously, it's not a pull. It's the absence of a push. When I move this way, I didn't pull here. I absence of a pushed that way. So there's no longer anything pushing that way. So everything goes this way because there's nothing counteracting the push. I mean, this can be reduced to ABC blocks. And if they would just get these blocks in the right order and say, yes, I can understand that's basically theoretically what's happening. Nothing ever gets pulled. Everything just gets you remove the contrary push. You remove the push that was creating a balance between two things. This is pushing this way. This is pushing this way. It's balanced. I move this over here. Well, now I've taken away the counterbalance, the balancing push. But I have not created a pull.
A way around and light up the light bulb, right?
No.
Well, let's look at this another way. Let's erase all of this clutter we have around here and just concentrate on the
He's a very good eraser.
And what do we have here? We have a conductor, some air or vacuum of space, whatever it is, and another conductor. Two conductors separated by an insulator. That's a capacitor.
No, it isn't really. So by its very nature, a capacitor, the whole idea of a capacitor, the whole reason why it means something is the whole... I should probably erase and go to the other drawing board. Yeah, I probably should. It's not going to be that big a deal. I'd be back. Yeah, I should be back. I should be able to do this fairly efficiently, and that should be better. All right, look, the whole idea of a capacitor is this idea of creating something called like an infinite plane. So if you create a surface that's big enough, if I could create a light surface that was big enough, full of like suns in the universe, the idea is if I put another piece, you know, right in front of that, I can move those two things an infinite distance away from each other. I can take the two plates, and if I have a plate here and a plate here, all of a sudden I get rid of the R squared rule. I get rid of the the thing that would be taking, you know, that would make my communication between these two things weaker and weaker. So if I can make this surface big enough, then what happens is the light, say a little source here in the middle of this plane, you know, and I have another piece of shit over here, and I want to send this signal to this signal, and I don't want it to get destroyed. Well, the idea is if I can make it so no matter which angle this moves at, it ends up hitting the other surface is the idea. So in a sense, the surfaces have to be, you know, huge and planar, so all of the radiation that's coming off of in all directions, right? It's going this way, this way, this way, this, you know, it's going in all these directions and going this way and that way, you know, understood. you want to collect all of that. And obviously two wires can't do that. Two little wires. If I put two little wires here, I'm going to get 1/1,000,000th, okay? 1/1,000,000th of the stuff that's coming off of here. Because all the rest of it's going this way, this way, this way, all these other ways. And so all of those miss, and only 1/1,000,000th of the signal will hit the other wire. It's hardly a capacitor. So capacitors maximize this by making these surfaces gigantic, at least in one direction. You know, it'll be like 500 meters, you know, of stuff, you know, rolled up. So if you unroll the capacitor, there's, you know, there's like 50 square meters of crap in there, flat surface. And that whole flat surface is intended to make it so you can actually collect what the other side is doing, producing. So again, if you could do this in a real sense in the universe, you can make a gigantic flat surface and put another surface. You can make it so much of the energy has to end up on the other surface that it doesn't matter how far away you go. Like theoretically, you could have a light source that stays just as bright, no matter, you know, a flashlight. It's just as bright, no matter how far away you go, it stays just as bright. Just as many photons hit you, just as much energy hits you. That's the idea of what a capacitor is doing. So this is like, I don't want to call it silly, but I mean, it's silly to sit there and call two wires anything like a capacitor because it's nothing like a capacitor. Can't do any kind of real transfer. It can't take real watts over here and create real watts of pressure on the other side because it can't communicate the pressure. It too much of it is destroyed by this R squared rule. I shouldn't have, no, this is just, I shouldn't have to explain this to these people. You know, they should be able to figure out for themselves. I never bought a capacitor made out of two wires. You know, you never bought any such thing. There's no such capacitor on Earth. It's clearly not capacitance. And then, so he's going to argue these different things. radio induction, and then he's going to talk about like transformers. It's all the same phenomenon. There's not some different, these aren't different ways of communicating. It's a magnetic field, and all you're saying is how much of the magnetic field am I going to actually capture? And how do I have to capture it? Well, I have to capture it by creating an actual bucket. Okay, and a single wire is not a bucket. You will not capture anything like, anything but a millionth of the energy.
And Derek makes the statement that these wires need to have zero resistance for this to work. Well, for it to work exactly the way he says, he's right. So
no, they have to have more than zero resistance. They have to be completely time independent also. They have to, you have to defeat the speed of light. So you're, you know, just talking about the resistance. The resistance isn't even the problem. It's the fact that you have to travel the distance. And you're obviously not going to be able to take any advantage of any field effects way out here. Okay, in, one-third of a millisecond or whatever. You know, the tiny time unit you're allowed, the speed of light at 1 meter. Well, clearly, none of this is going to be relevant because none of that energy can get that far. Even if it was flying through free space, it can't get there.
They'll say there's zero resistance, so... the time constant of this capacitor is going to be zero, so we don't have to worry about any delays there. But what's going to...
So again, that's silly. It's always a delay. There always has to be some distance between them, and it takes time to travel the distance. And again, the relevant part is that no capacitor works this magical way. You don't put electricity into the plate capacitor. You can't put energy in and the plate charges instantaneously. That doesn't happen. It still takes time for the plate to charge. Shit.
Happen. As we put voltage on this wire here, that is going to travel across by capacitance and affect the other wire over here.
So we know it's not traveling across by capacitance. It's traveling across because it's a magnetic field it's creating. The flow of the electricity always changes the configuration of the atoms and polarizes them. It'll make them north side or south side, and you can switch them north, south. You can do all kinds of little tricks, but it's always just a magnetic field. And you're detecting with radio, for example, a tiny percentage. The radio transmitter produces millions of watts, right? Megawatts go into the radio transmitter. Huge amount of electricity, of watts, go into the transmitter. Your radio antenna picks up milliwatts. I mean, millionths of a percentage of a watt. Huge difference. Million times 1 million. It's a really big number. 2 million. Yeah. Anyway, no, it's, yeah, a lot more than that. Yeah, times. It was adding. Yeah, that. But it's multiplying. So it's like a gazillion.
Here. And when we first close the switch, remember my explanation about how capacitors work. When we first try to energize that capacitor, what does it look like? It looks like a short circuit. So the path from this wire to that one, directly this direction, looks like a short...
So even this doesn't make any sense, because obviously these two sides are direct. There's a direct route right around your capacitor. It's not a capacitor. It's completely shorted. It can't possibly work.
Circuit. And on this side is just the electrons are moving.
Yeah, the exact opposite, which doesn't make any sense. How can the plate have two opposite charges on it? So they're essentially, you're saying there's a capacitor on one side and a capacitor on the other side. So you have two capacitors, two separate ones. If you're going to play the game of playing capacitance games,
moving. No, they're moving the same way, but the
polar... No, they're moving exactly the opposite way.
Polarity is opposite. And so that energy is going to go across there at the speed of light. So we don't have to wait.
So again, obviously this makes, first off, yeah, if you would have said to me, Can I detect a battery when you close the contacts on a battery? You close the I just put the wire right around a loop on top of the battery, and I close the contacts on the battery. Can I, with some electronics device, detect the battery? Of course I can. Faraday did it. Voltaire? Was it Voltaire? I imagine. I think it was Voltaire, right? Hertz. Well, anyway, they did this. That's exactly what they did. They created a spark way over here. A spark, you know. And then they said, can I detect the spark 10 feet away? Yeah, we all know you can. Yes, you can. That is not transmitting electricity. It's really not transmitting the electricity. You have, you know, 500 watts in your spark, and you're going to collect a milliwatt of energy. You haven't transmitted energy. You've transmitted a signal that is a byproduct of the fact that you are using energy over here, that you're using electricity. So using electricity over here can be detected over here. But again, the catch is it can only be detected if it's on a frequency. There's lots of rules to this detection. So I mean, what is all this? All this conversation about what is absolute bullshit. Well, anyway, I'll play some more of this. Yeah, this isn't going very well. I thought I could just, you know, say, hey, buddy, that's not really true, is it? You know, that's not really a reasonable argument, is it? Come on, the Veritasium video is a gimmick, and here you are playing with it. My friend Derek, he's making a really good point that, well, maybe we don't need transmission lines and we can just let the electricity field send the electricity to us. No, you can't do that. It won't work. You'll get you'll pay for 1 million watts and you'll receive 1/1,000,000 of a watt.
Wait for our electrons to start moving to get the energy transfer. It's going to go this, and by the way, that's going to be 1 meter. I forgot to mention that. 1 meter distance between the switch and the light. It's going to go that 1 meter distance at the speed of light. Now, you say, wait a second, it's shorted out the end here. Now, that doesn't matter, because it's going to take a half a second before the effects reach there anyway.
Right, so it's completely irrelevant, because I already lit the light bulb. No, you didn't light the light bulb. You sent 1/1,000,000 of a watt to the light bulb. The light bulb couldn't have cared less. It said, what? The cell phone conversations hitting the light bulb have more energy in them. Fact. Absolute fact. Okay, if you actually did this experiment, there's radio waves and cell phone conversations that will be hitting the light bulb with more energy than the signal sent by the battery. Fact.
So this might as well be open at both ends. And so basically what we have here is a couple of capacitors.
So again, it's just silly to call them capacitors because first the distance is preposterous, 1 meter. At 1 meter, even if they were giant plates, you're still in big trouble because you're still losing even the energy coming off the middle of the plate, a huge percentage of it, 20, 30, 40% of it is still escaping your system. Okay, so, you know, a capacitor really has to be understood as you're maximizing the probability of receiving the signal because you have a giant bucket on one side and a bucket on the other side, and it can't escape. Stuff coming off this can't miss the bucket on this side, and stuff coming off of this can't miss the bucket on the other side. You really have to make it into a device that's going to capture the maximum amount of the field energy created by the devices. And if it's not doing that, it's not a capacitor.
And the energy is going to go right through them, just like my demonstration circuit for how does a capacitor work. It's the same exact thing.
It really isn't exactly the same thing at all. And just a little bit of analysis demonstrates that a single wire is not, you know, 10 square meters of foil.
Close the switch. The capacitor looks like a short circuit. The energy goes right through it as if it were a short circuit. So
It never goes through quite that efficiently, but whatever. Okay, let's just pretend. But yes, the whole idea is that the that's it's just a charge effect, and that it's exactly the same argument that whatever you create as a surface, the other things in the universe can be sympathetic to that surface and create the same pattern. And if they duplicate a pattern created by electricity, the movement of electrons, then they'll have to move electrons to duplicate the pattern. And by moving electrons to duplicate the pattern, they'll be creating electricity. The exact opposite. Polarity, but this, yeah, the same thing.
This energy is going to travel across there at the speed of light.
So this energy isn't. A tiny, minuscule bazillionth of the energy is going to travel to the light. A bazillionth. One bazillionth. You would have to put all the energy produced in China, you know, over the next hour through that wire to at 1 meter to light the light bulb. I mean, you'd have to put a tremendous amount of energy through the wire to light the light bulb through induction at 1 meter.
But there's another way to look at it. Let's erase our clutter here.
Very good.
Because we have a couple of wires that are parallel to each other. We get a current moving in this wire. What do we get? A magnetic field around that wire. And that magnetic field is going to build and cross this wire.
So, yes, exactly the same principle as the capacitor. So exactly the same thing. It's the same induction, the same idea, nothing different at all.
Over here, and induce a current going in the opposite way in that wire.
Right. A tiny, minuscule, infinitesimally small current, because this wire is radiating a field in all these directions. You've covered 1% at best, maybe even something like 1/300th, a tiny percentage of the total energy field created. And the total energy field is essentially, just by circumstance, by happenstance, just happens to be really correlated to how much energy is going through the wire. So the wire can't create extra energy in the field. It can only create as much energy. So if you collected all the energy that the wire is creating, it would be the same amount of energy that's actually flowing through the wire. And you're collecting a tiny, tiny, minuscule fraction of that.
So basically what we have here is the primary and the secondary of a transformer.
No, you basically, again, don't, because the whole reason why the primary, you can call it something, is because there's a whole bunch of wire in one little location, and that the secondary would be inside the primary, you know, if you were using fields alone to create a transformer. You know, and then we use the magnetism so we can have the two coils of wire next to each other. But regardless, the point is that you've done everything you can to maximize the surface transfer. That is, you've created a coil, so you're creating a circumstance where all the energy has to stay in the coil, so you capture it all. You're essentially making an enclosure so the energy can't get out. You're increasing the capacitance, the capture capacitance. You're trying to maximize how much you capture. That might be a good way to understand it. A capacitor is to understand it as a capturing device.
So we move the current here, we get a magnetic coupling across over to here. It looks like a 1-to-1 ratio to me. And
so obviously it's 1-to-1 ratio. I don't even know what that would mean. Obviously the distance is, again, we're back to the R squared rule. You're degrading the with distance, you're losing 4 times the energy with every half distance you move. Blah blah blah. I mean, it's really working against you. You're moving away from the sun, you're collecting less and less light. I don't know how to, you know, you should know all this stuff. The sun works the same way, a light bulb works the same way. I move, you know, this stupid argument, right? I'm close, big. I move just half the distance away, 1/4 the size, 1/4. So the further away I go, oh shit, 1/16. I mean, I'm losing ground so quickly. 1/3, whatever, 1/9. And a meter is huge.
So that effect travels this 1 meter. How fast? At the speed of light. So we're going to get the energy start moving here. We don't have to.
So again, it's not, to call it the energy when it's 1 billionth of the energy. I mean, literally a billionth. That's what you could hope for. Your best hope would be I collect 1 billionth of the energy going through the wire. 1 billionth. Yeah. And that's being optimistic. And I'm going to say, hey, I completely transferred the electricity. No, you didn't transfer shit.
Wait for the electrons to start moving in the whole circuit. Everything starts happening at the speed of light over a distance of 1 meter. Not, of course, our 300 million meters. But yet, there's another way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, when are you going to get to the rational way to look at it?
Let's just clean that up here. There's our switch and our wire. Because, once again, let's just take off the ends to forget that they're shorted there, because it doesn't matter, because it takes a half of a second for that effect to even happen.
Again, so it doesn't matter where, you know, yeah, it kind of does when you short out an electrical system, because then you're sort of guaranteed the destination of the energy. But anyway.
What do we have here? Looks like an antenna to me. I send the current out there. I'm going to get electromagnetic radiation.
So it's not electromagnetic radiation any different than the electromagnetic radiation that was carrying the energy for the capacitor and the electromagnetic radiation that compared the energy for the induction you were creating in your transformer. It's exactly the same electromagnetic radiation in all three cases. So whatever the radiation is, that's what you ought to try. That's what your physics ought to try to figure out, what your virtual photons are. Are they real? Yeah.
Traveling from here to here, that's going to act like a receiving antenna, which is going to cause a current to flow in that direction. And so the effect is going to go from one wire to the other as electromagnetic radiation. How fast is it going to move? At the speed of light. So it's going to travel that
way. And again, how much does the radio station have to put into the transmitter versus how much your receiver pulls out of the atmosphere? Oh, okay. What's the relationship? 1 billion to 1. 1 trillion to 1. A Googleplex to 1 or whatever. The ratio of the amount of electricity that the amount of the signal, the energy, right? We're talking about the transmission of energy. The amount of the energy you will transmit in that form and in that way is billions of times smaller. So you don't call that energy transmission in any kind of rational way because it's so inefficient.
1 meter at the speed of light. And from an electrical engineering point of view, this could be seen as a trick question. Let's put our...
I know, it could be seen as deception and distortion. And he overtly said you've been lied to in terms of understanding that electricity is actually flowing through the wire. When, if you are any kind of technician, you've watched wires burn. You've watched them melt. Unfortunately, you've watched your circuit fry. To pretend that that doesn't happen, the wires don't get hot, they're not doing anything. I mean, come on. You can see the weak points in the system. You can actually put a defect in a wire, and you can guarantee the wire will. That's the place where the wire will fall apart. That's where the any stress I put on this circuit, this is where it will fail. You can guarantee your failure points.
Shorts here again, where if we say, okay, there's our wires, we're 300 million meters, and closed at the ends, your first thought is going to be, okay, the electrons have to travel all the way down there and back. And from an electrical engineering point of view, you might start looking at it that way. But then if I say, wait a second, what if I just remove the ends here? And I think...
Well, then you're not going to move shit. Yeah, right. Certainly your electrons aren't going to get to the light bulb. Electrons aren't. a tiny amount of electric, of magnetic transmission will take place, but that's it. Again, they shouldn't call this electromagnetic, because there is no electric field. There's just the magnetic field. There's no other field. There's just the charge field.
Any engineer would immediately look at that as, wait a second, I've got a couple of antennas there. It's going to travel straight across as electromagnetic
wave. I thought he just did that. Didn't he just do that? So maybe that's an old man kind of syndrome. He just did the radio. Why is he doing it twice?
Oh, I also have a capacitor there. It's going to act like a capacitor.
Oh, okay. So he's just doing a summary of all three. So it's obviously a shit capacitor. Completely shit. I mean, incredibly shit capacitor. I mean, a bazillion microfarads or whatever. I mean, that you couldn't even write the number of how shit the capacitor is on the capacitor because it's such a shit capacitor. All right, so that's just silly. The radio thing is silly because it's megawatts versus millionths of a watt. You're getting so little that it's like saying how much of the Crab Nebula. What percentage of the Crab Nebula's energy is getting to me here on Earth? Yeah, that's how much of the energy you're getting. Shit worth of energy. You're not transferring the energy.
Actually, I have two inductors there. It's going to act like a transformer.
The shittiest transformer in the history of mankind. It'll be such a bad transformer. It'll be so weak, so pitiful, so poor at transmitting the electricity. Again, you pay for 1 million watts of electricity to be produced, and you get to collect 1 watt. So you pay $78,647 on your electric bill for 1 watt.
Remove the shorts at the end. I think most engineers would see how this works right away. And of course, any engineer knows that having a short doesn't mean anything at certain frequencies. I mean, this could be a real antenna. You can have a short circuit that looks like a short at DC, but at the frequency of the antenna, it looks like an open circuit.
Well, that's only because at the speed of light, you can only create the signal in a tiny portion of the antenna, because the rest of the antenna is way too far away to go on and off in time. It'll be so lagged behind, it will only destroy your signal rather than enhance your signal. So the only part of the antenna that actually works is the part that can accomplish the on-off task in the amount of time allowed, that is the time it takes to move the distance at the speed of light. So yes, obviously high frequencies, tiny antennas, low frequencies, ginormous antennas.
So that's nothing new. So we can actually look at this in three different ways. So
you could look at it three different ways that are all completely preposterous and have nothing to do with actually conveying energy, moving energy from one place to another. You're not really transmitting the energy, you're just transmitting a signal. Big, gigantic difference, and I shouldn't have to make this video. I mean, these people should know better. You're just all talking absolute shit.
Now, that way, go back and look at Derek's video, and maybe if it wasn't making sense before, it'll make sense now.
No, it makes no sense. It's completely illogical. It's completely nonsense. I don't know why he throws this bullshit in. Look, I have a Yamaha generator. And look, I pull the cord, I'm going this way, and somehow the energy is going that way. Well, obviously you can do all kinds of things with, rotors and pulleys to change the direction of energy. I shouldn't even play this because it is just, what's he doing, a commercial? He works for Yamaha? I think it's Yamaha.
I can illustrate.
Oh, it's Honda. Honda. My mistake.
Another thing that Derek says with this generator. He says that even when the electrons are moving toward a generator or toward a battery, that the energy is moving away from the generator or battery.
Well, whatever that could possibly mean doesn't mean anything. It's obviously nonsense again. It's not the same energy. What you reflect, okay, and what's running inside of you are two different things. What you reflect doesn't require any of your energy. So I can turn, I could theoretically very easily change my surface, you know, just by turning little tiny changes. And the little tiny changes are the difference between the energy absorbing into me or the energy reflecting off of me. And certainly I can change what reflects off of me. I can change from blue to green to red, right? With a tiny little subtle change. I mean, the liquid crystal in this, you know, monitor I'm looking at is doing it all over the place, zillions of times a second. It's making a tiny change, which makes an obvious change. And that's all that happens when you run electricity through a wire. You're changing the wire. And now the wire is doing like the pixels on the screen. All of a sudden it went from blue to red. And there's other things in the universe that know the difference between blue and red, and they react. They run away from red, and they run towards blue.
When I pull the start cord, I am pulling it away from the generator. Yet the energy is going from my hand to the generator. In fact, what holds the atoms of this pull cord together? It's the electromagnetic force. Is perhaps even mechanical energy?
So electromagnetic again. It's just the atomic forces, frankly. I mean, they shouldn't even be called they're charge forces. It's the attraction between electrons and protons.
Transmitted by electromagnetic energy?
I shouldn't call it attraction. Again, you know, the fact that the two are interacting with the red and green forces in the universe in an inverse way means that, yes, that's what's holding it together.
Anyway. I'll have to do some more research on that.
Very exciting.
Now, there's one more thing that might be confusing you, and that's because he says that the time it takes for that light to light is going to be the reciprocal of the speed of light.
Oh yeah, again, that is just so silly, this whole dividing the speed of light into one and saying basically, you know, it's the same. It's almost the same number. I mean, it's just another way of taking a preposterously huge number and changing it and saying, look, I made a significant change. When, how the fuck can you make a significant change? There's no significant change here. So anyway, yes, it's traveling 1 meter. You can't divide C into one and accomplish anything.
Times seconds. What's the reciprocal of the speed of light have to do with anything? That doesn't make any sense. No. That is not the reciprocal of the speed of light. We have 1 meter. That is going to be 1 meter divided by the speed of light.
Which means nothing, really. It doesn't change anything. It's still, you're still using the reciprocal. So you're just saying how far does light travel in 1 meter? You know, I mean, there's no point. It just has to do with units.
Seconds to reach that. So we simply take 1, that's 1 meter, divide that by 300 million meters per second. And we find out that the time it's going to take...
Or just multiply it.
Yeah. For this energy to travel that 1 meter is going to be 0.00000000333, on and on and on.
Yeah, right. That's only because you averaged the 300 million. So if you didn't average 300 million, you wouldn't get 3333. But anyway, just who cares? Just too silly. What you understand, we should understand about reciprocals is that the transmitter has the 300 million thing, and the receiver has the 0.000003 thing. And if you created a power company that delivered energy to people's houses with that kind of inefficiency, you wouldn't be in business very long. So it's silly for Veritasium to say the energy moves through some field. The energy doesn't move through it. The energy is moving through the wire. Anyway, so probably enough of a video. I guess we'll play a little bit more of the Australian guy. See, I haven't, like I said, I haven't watched this video yet, so I don't know how silly it gets.
So what a power station does is it pushes and pulls the electrons back and forth 60 times a second.
So it really doesn't do any of that. It never pulls, of course, but yes, it can create an absence of electrons. It's the same thing as a pull to the electrons because they have a space they can go to now, so they go to the open space. So, yeah.
Now, at your house, you can plug in a device like a toaster, which essentially means allowing the electrons to run through it. So when the power station pushes and pulls the electrons...
All right, sorry, I didn't know he's just going to play a lot of this before he gets to it. We've already done this and been there. Well, let's just play it.
Well, they encounter resistance in the toaster element, and they...
Right, and the toaster element is designed not to be allowed to let that chain run through the wire. There's too little wire for too much movement, and that's why it gets hot, because it's a smaller, weaker conductor. It's got a bunch of impurities in it to make it get hot. Yeah, so it's not really spinning on the chain. The electron, the chain, is actually having to go through the shittier conductor, and it's creating a whole bunch of friction and getting hot.
Dissipate their energy as heat, and so you can toast your bread. Now, this is a great story. I think it's easy to visualize, and I think my students understood it. The only problem is...
It's really stupidly made. Why didn't you just use a rope? Why are you using a chain?
It's wrong.
Yes.
Okay, so any analogy is wrong, frankly. Okay, I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, you're not going to find any system that's going to work just like electricity. Just that I can't analogize the flow of water molecules through a hose with anything other than another fluid. You know, I mean, I can't create some rock analogy or pebble analogy or some other kind of analogy, because it's not going to work exactly the same way. But in getting to the point, which is there's movement, and the movement gets, you know, I can make the movement go into other devices and do other things. So just like I could explain the wheel on the train is taking energy that's just going back and forth, and it's turning energy going back and forth into rotational energy.
And no, from a physics point of view, yes, it's wrong. From a field theory point of view, yes, it'll like electromagnetic.
Oh, whatever. No, those aren't the reasons why it's wrong.
In a field theory point of view, it's wrong. But there's actually nothing wrong with using this kind of example.
Right. So there's nothing wrong with an analogy that's wrong. Okay, got it. I would argue that what it does is give you the implication that understanding his drawing was more accurate, in the sense that he showed electricity as like lightning moving through the wire. That analogy is more accurate than this chain thing. The whole wire isn't doing the transfer. Just little bits inside the wire are transferring. And yes, if I increase the amperage, I increase the number, the number of little bits that are excited. You know, so they're less excited, but there's more of them. So I just make it more people running to the bank. You know, there's a run on the bank, you know, and they all want to take a dollar out versus one guy who wants to take $1,000 out. It's the same thing, same amount of energy. But you got to understand that the implications to the bank are that, you know, the front doors get widened.
But in terms of actual practical engineering, engineers have developed lots of tools, methods, and laws, like Ohm's law, Kirchhoff's laws, maximum power transfer theory, transmission line theory, signal theory, all sorts of theorems we've developed to...
Drift speed. Yeah, stupid things. Things that aren't really getting to the point of what's actually taking place. That's the part where you still fail. So describing vague rules that the game takes place in, you know, saying something like, saying chess. I could describe chess as, well, there's a hierarchy and some of the pieces do things that other pieces can't do. And there's like predators and prey, and there's like peasants and, you know, blue bloods, and I could do a vague description, but I'm not really describing the game.
Give a more practical insight rather than what's actually happening at the physics level. Who is taught this? Engineers are actually taught all of the stuff he's talking about in this video. In fact, it's fundamental.
Oh, so whatever. They're taught drift speed. Just absolute moronic shit. So anyway, I'll watch this and probably, I mean, it is 45 minutes of Australian talk. I don't really understand this whole thing. What the hell's the formatting? It's just kind of weird. But whatever. The world has gotten very weird. Yeah, so I think I've had enough. That's what we'll say. Yes, I've had enough. No need to continue to bother the wind with my video. Yeah, I'll leave the wind alone. So I am thinking I have to create some kind of format. You know, see, all the, you can't go on the internet. The forums are all run by a cabal of evaders and cowards. And they won't deal with any of this fundamental physics arguments. And they certainly won't deal with it by making these kinds of arguments, you know, where you actually argue. You know, they want to do everything in book form. And, you know, that's just not, first, in my opinion, not very entertaining. But you're really not going to get to it. It's not direct enough. You really need to do this blackboard thing. That's why it works. That's why lecturers do it. It's because it actually works as a way of explaining something, drawing a picture and showing how the two sides are uneven, you know. It really helps to illustrate an experiment if you can't actually show the experiment. You know, come on. And there's got to be a way to get people enough interested, even if they hate my guts, they should love the idea of actually seeing these ideas be have to compete with each other and explain. You know, they have to be defended. They'd have to defend this crap. They keep hearing about this is the rule, but there's no explanation for why is it the rule. Any rational or consistent explanation. I mean, they say all kinds of silly stuff. There are obviously simple explanations for a ton of things, and they keep jumping to the silliest explanation. I mean, it's that whole Casimir effect. The simple explanation is the plates have to charge compatibly. They can't stay both electron heavy, you know, negative to negative. One of them has to switch to positive. One of them has to go positive. One of them has to go negative for them to stick to each other. So the only way matter can stick to itself is that it has to do these things. Every atom has to do it. Everything has to turn to the environment. That's the simple explanation. Their silly explanation, there's a bunch of energy in the universe. This empty space has energy and it pushes things together. I mean, it's just too stupid. And this stuff should be argued. And it's pathetic that no one encourages that. Nobody understands that's the only way you're going to get to the truth is you have to actually defeat the bullshit. And you have to have an arena where bullshit is defeated. Two men enter. One of them is shown to be a fake and a phony and a fraud. And one man leaves and the other girl leaves. Yeah. Yeah. This is bullshit. The world you people are encouraging and producing sucks. It has no balls or integrity. It's just so weak. Weak sauce. Anyway. Fuck you. That's all I got. Fuck you. Alright, this has been a draftphysics.com video presentation to the wind and apparently just morons, because nobody else can make an argument to me. They can't form an argument defeating a single fucking thing I've said. Sheesh. Anyway. So, till next time.